Good to see you again tonight, and I trust that you all have a vision and you all have a plan, and you're going to lead by example tonight, right? And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you must have been taking a snooze this morning. just kidding. I'm kidding. I would never accuse anybody of doing that because I've snoozed myself a few times. We confess our sins. Well, I remember years ago after I got saved, I was working second shift, you know, and that was from 4 to 12 or 3 to 11. I can't remember what it was. And I would try to get back on a normal schedule on the weekends. I come in here Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, and, man, I fought it, and I like this, you know. I tried to concentrate on what this brother was saying, but it was tough. But anyway, if you take a snooze tonight, I know how you feel, so don't worry about it. We've been talking about Moses in the book of Exodus, not the book of Moses, but the book of Exodus. If you would turn to Exodus chapter 18 tonight. And what I'd like to do is spend some time on what I call principles of leadership that we can learn from Moses. And as we learned this morning, you know, Moses was a reluctant leader. He was, when God called him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, he didn't want to do it. He didn't want to go. And we studied about five obstacles or hindrances or excuses, actually, that Moses gave the Lord of why he didn't want to go to Egypt and lead his people. And we talked about Moses having or God giving him a vision and a plan and leading by example. We covered that. We talked about that. And tonight we're going to talk a little bit about leadership, Moses' leadership. You know, leadership is really a subject that it can cover a lot of ground. We can talk a lot about leadership in different areas of life. It seems that leadership in the world consists of political leadership or leadership in business, leadership in education, or something like that. But tonight we're going to talk about leadership in ministry and our service for God. And you may be saying, well, you know, I'm not a leader. But even if you think you're not a leader, these principles are good to know. And I know I can look out in the audience tonight and I could see a lot of leaders out there. I mean, I see Sunday school teachers. And you may not lead adults, but you do lead children in one form or another in that type of environment. And leadership can cover a lot of areas in our lives as believers. And leadership is so important, especially in the local church and for the various ministries that we have. And, you know, we have the Thursday morning Bible study. We have the Wednesday morning or Wednesday night prayer meeting. We have the Lord's Supper. We have 11 o'clock meeting, the 6:30 meeting. We have the Saturday morning men's Bible study. There's all sorts of things, in addition to Awana and Sunday school, there's all sorts of things and ministries and programs that we can get involved in as Christians. It's important for us to know what leadership principles are. And we're just going to go through four principles tonight in regards to leadership. And what we're doing, we're looking at a man who is the leader of, I don't know, 2 or 3 million people. Some Bible scholar says the children of Israel, the numbers have went up to 4 or 5 million. I don't know, but I think it was at least 2 or 3 million Israelites who left Egypt. And these people needed to be led by somebody. And we see that Moses was chosen, commissioned, called by God to lead the children of Israel out of slavery and bondage in Egypt. And Moses learned these principles of leadership on his own. He didn't go to a class. You know, when I was working for Nortel Networks for about 20 years, I went to gazillions of classes during my time there. I mean, there's a class for this, class for that, and a class for all sorts of stuff. And, you know, in some of those classes, I learned a lot. Some of those classes were a waste of my time. you know how it is in a business bureaucracy, a big company, if you ever worked for somebody like that. But, you know, Moses didn't learn. Nobody taught Moses the principles of leadership. The only one who could teach Moses was God himself. And Moses learned on the job. He had what we call on-the-job training as a leader. And he learned by experience. And sometimes experience is the best teacher, and sometimes experience is the worst teacher. It depends on how you look at it. But in Exodus chapter 18, we're going to read a passage in verses 13 through 27, and we're going to look at two principles of leadership in that passage. So we'll start reading in chapter 18, verse 13. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto even?" And Moses said unto his father-in-law, "Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws." And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, "The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee. For this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge, so shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God commanded thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace." So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law, and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel, and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens. And they judged the people at all seasons. The hard causes they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land. You know, I think it's interesting here, first of all, that the man who is counseling or advising Moses is his father-in-law, Jethro, who was not part of the children of Israel. And we may be wondering, well, how did Jethro know all this stuff? Well, I think there's a reason. I think that Jethro could have received that through divine revelation, received his advice and counsel through divine revelation. I think Jethro probably had some experience in this area. He had lived all his life, and he had gotten to know the people of the land, and possibly Jethro ran into situations in where he had to take these principles and use them for himself. But in any case, the first principle, if you're taking notes tonight, I'll go real slow. If you're not, I'll go fast. But the first principle of leadership is an effective leader always listens to advice and counsel. An effective leader always listens to advice and counsel. Now, you notice there I said listens to advice and counsel. I didn't say he takes it. Okay? There's a difference between listening to good, sound advice and counsel. But we have to be careful. We have to discern the difference between good, solid, biblical counsel and advice, that we can take that advice. But we have to be careful that some of the advice and counsel we receive as believers is not good, it's not biblical, and it shouldn't be taken. You know, and we have to make up our minds. We have to possibly search the scriptures and be in prayer to the Lord to help us to take the correct advice. And in this particular case, Moses listened to his father-in-law, Jethro. He listened to the advice and the counsel that Jethro gave, and he eventually took it. He took Jethro's advice and put it into use with the children of Israel. And we see, first of all, in verse 13, that if the people had a dispute, if they had a problem, if they wanted the law of God applied to their lives in a particular area, they would come to Moses, and Moses would render a judgment in a particular case. Moses acted like a judge amongst the people, and all the people of Israel were coming to Moses. Not just a few of them, but all of them. Moses could have had tens of thousands of people lined up to see him, to talk to him. And Moses was listening to the disputes and the cases of the people from the time the sun came up until the time it went down every day. And he probably had people still lined up in line wanting to talk to him to get a judgment about that particular case or dispute. And in verse 14, we see that Jethro observed what was going on. He saw all the people lining up to bring their disputes and problems to Moses for a judgment. And Jethro said in verse 18, verse 17, he said, "The thing that thou doest is not good." You know, Jethro saw this, and it's interesting sometimes that someone who is an outsider can give us insight into some of our problems. They could give us advice and counsel. Like I said, Jethro was a member of the family, but he was not part of the children of Israel. He was an outsider. Yet he could see, as Moses did this job, this incredible work that Moses was doing, judging the people, Jethro could see that it was going to wear Moses out. That Moses was going to suffer what we call in the 21st century as burnout. And you've heard that phrase before. Maybe you have been burned out. And, you know, because of the heavy responsibility of a particular thing or occupation. And in verse 18, Jethro said as much. He said, "Thou wilt surely wear away, and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone." And Jethro gave Moses some advice in verses 19 and 20. He said that Moses should represent the people before God, and he should teach and instruct the people, as showing them the way they must walk, the work they must do. You know, this was Moses' job as a leader of his people. But Jethro advised and counseled Moses in verse 21 to choose other people to help him. These are men that Jethro advised Moses to choose. The qualifications are given in verse 21. They should be able men. They should be God-fearing men. They should be honest. They shouldn't take bribes. And this is a perfect situation for bribery to take place. I can imagine somebody coming, "Well, Earl, you know, if you rule in my case against my neighbor here, I'll pay you an extra. I'll pay you $500. I would say, "It's going to cost you more than $500. You're going to have to pay me more than that. You're going to have to pay me $1,000 if you want to rule." I said, "Well, I haven't got $1,000. "Well, hey, if you want me to rule in your favor, you better pay me that $1,000. I'm pretty hard-nosed about stuff like that. But, you know, you can imagine in a situation like this, and I'm using that as a humorous illustration to make a point, but you can imagine in a situation like this how bribery could take place if the wrong people were in that job, corrupt, dishonest men. Jethro told Moses to choose able, God-fearing men. If a man or a woman is God-fearing, usually they're going to be honest. And Moses, or Jethro told Moses to choose men like that to help him and put them in authority over small groups to help Moses judge the people. Now, these groups of people were tens, fifties, hundreds, and thousands. Okay? And these people would, these men would help the people with their disputes and judge them with the smaller things, the smaller disputes that came to them. And if the large disputes which couldn't be solved, they would take them to Moses. And Moses would take the law of God, and these men below him in authority would take the law of God and apply it to the people's problems and their disputes. And in that way, we see that Moses would be relieved, you see. He would find relief and he'd find help. So one of the principles of leadership is an effective leader always listens to advice and counsel. I remember a few years ago when I first became an elder here at Northgate Chapel, and I promised you one thing. I told you that I would be glad to listen to anything you have to tell me. I never said that I was going to agree with you on matters. I never told you that we would have an agreement in some things, but I did promise you that I would listen to you, and that promise still goes. It still holds firm. And all the other elders can tell you the same thing. But Moses here took his father-in-law's advice and implemented this plan that Jethro had advised him to take. And Jethro's plan was a very sound and biblical advice that he gave Moses. And Moses took that advice and made it a part of the children of Israel. Another principle of leadership that we can see in this passage is that an effective leader delegates authority to others. An effective leader delegates authority to others. People nowadays say, I'm in business for 50 years. I already knew that. Well, there it was in Exodus 18 before you were even born. There's the principle of delegation of authority. And this is exactly what Moses was doing. He was delegating his authority to these men under him who would rule and judge and help the people with their disputes and problems. And they would apply the law of God. So Moses was willing to delegate his authority to these men. And you know, I know you've been in, if you ever worked in a job or a business of any kind, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, I used to work for managers, and I've worked for some pretty good ones, and I worked for some pretty lousy ones, pretty mediocre ones, as you have too. I never did get up that far up the scale, which is good. I didn't want to really be a manager in business anyway. But, you know, we work for some good people and for some lousy people. You know, I've worked for managers who want to control everything. They want all the power, all the authority, and they were control freaks, you know. And they wouldn't delegate anything to you. And I've worked for managers, and the ones I like to work for the best is, Earl, here's the job that we need to do. You go do it. And they would leave me alone, and I would do my job. That was great. That was, you know, I flourished in an environment like that. And I think most employees would. But, you know, delegation of authority, in if you think about it, we're not taking a principle of the world and applying it to Christian ministry, brother, sister in Christ. We're taking a principle in the Scriptures, in the Word of God, and applying it to Christian ministry. Delegation of authority didn't start in the world. It started in the Word of God, right here in Exodus 18. And in Christian ministry, that's something that you and I need to heed. You know, we don't have to bear the burden alone. You know, I learned that years ago in Awana. I had all these leaders, and I was doing everything. You know, in Awana, I was doing all the planning, doing this, doing that, and all this kind of stuff. And my leaders kind of stood around. They watched me do everything. And I finally realized that, you know, this is dumb. And I didn't know anything about Exodus 18 but I finally realized through experience that, you know, it's better to delegate things to other people and let them bear the burden with you in Christian ministry. You don't have to bear the burden alone. You don't have to bear the work alone. You can depend upon other people. I told the Awana leaders in August in our meeting before Awana began, I told them, I said, you know, I'll be honest with you. My gifts are not in organization and administration. I couldn't organize, you know, a tea party. You know, I'm not gifted in that area. And so I'm going to have to depend on you and your gifts and your ability in organization and administration to help me out. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. And, you know, this is something that you and I as leaders in a Christian ministry or any other phase of ministry that we're involved in, we must get the people under us or the people that work with us involved in the work. So they can learn, and so they can come up the ladder and be a leader. See, this is a good way to train future leaders is by delegation of authority. If we get them, the other folks involved in the work, in a ministry, that means we don't have to make all of the decisions, and at the same time, we get to train other people to take their place in leadership in the future, you see. And this is exactly what one of the things that Exodus 18 is talking about. Moses saw that if he delegated authority to other people, that he wouldn't burn out. you see. And, you know, I believe that God was in this. I believe that God was sent. It could be that the text doesn't state precisely and exactly this, but I believe that God sent Jethro to Moses to talk to him and advise him in this area. And I believe these two principles that we learned about: an effective leader listens to advice and counsel and delegates authority. These are principles from the Lord to us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We can take these principles in Exodus 18, which happened thousands of years ago, we can take these principles and apply them to our lives today in Christian leadership and in Christian ministry. And regardless of whether you're here at Northgate Chapel doing something, or you're in the home doing something, or you're in your neighborhood or in your community, your job, your school, wherever you're at, you can take these principles of the Word of God and put them into action in your life as a believer. But see, in Exodus 18, Moses was willing to take the advice and counsel of his father-in-law, Jethro, because Jethro's advice and his counsel was good, it was sound, and it was biblical, and it came from God. And you know, we have to be very careful in leadership responsibilities that when we lead, and the decisions that we make as leaders are the decisions that God himself, the Lord himself, wants us to make. You know, we have to be very careful about that. And I believe that Moses was careful about this decision that he had to make in Exodus 18. And in the same way, you and I should be very careful. If we're in leadership positions and we have people or even children under us, we must be careful that the decisions we make are based upon the scriptures and biblical principles. And I haven't always done that, you know. And we had, none of you have either, not in every situation. You know, we've all messed up, and we've all failed. We've all made mistakes. And it's like, as far as mistakes, it's like I told the Awana leaders, I said, if you make a mistake, don't worry about it. Come back and tell me, and we can fix it together, you know. If you make a mistake, just make sure that you make a decision. If it's the wrong decision, if it's a mistake, your decision is a mistake, it's okay. You know, I'm not going to yell at you. We'll try to fix the problem together. And I believe that that's one of the principles in Christian leadership. You know, if you're in business or in a job for any number of years, you start, if people make a mistake, there's a lot of finger pointing going on, and yeah, Earl, he messed up and he did this, and you know, he didn't do that. I told him about 6 weeks ago to do this, and he didn't do it. And you know, people are blaming you and pointing fingers at you and this type of thing. That shouldn't happen in the body of Christ. We're different. We're God's people. We're not the people of the world. And if we follow the biblical principles laid down in the scriptures, just like Moses did in regard to the judging the people, then we'll be making the right decisions the way God wants us to, you see. Well, let's go on to the next principle of leadership. Let's turn to Exodus 32. Exodus 32. In Exodus 32, the principle of leadership is an effective leader intercedes in prayer for others. An effective leader intercedes in prayer for others. The people that are under him, the people that are over him, the people that are ministered to, he always intercedes in prayer for other people. Let's start reading. We'll start reading at verses 1 through 6. Verses 11 through 13 are the key verses, but we'll start at verse 1, chapter 32. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto them, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, or of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings, which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron. And he fashioned them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And we'll stop right there just for a minute. Here we are in Exodus chapter 32. Moses has gone up to Mount Sinai. He is communing with God. He is receiving God's law. And he was gone a long time. And the people started to get restless. And the people went to Aaron and said, you know, we don't know when Moses is coming down. And you've got to make us a god. You know, you've got to make us God. And Aaron went along with what the people were doing. I think that this is an indication that the people gave in to the flesh instead of a God. And they asked Aaron to make them a God. Aaron took all their gold, their earrings, and he put them in a big pile. And he fashioned a golden calf, an image of a golden calf, an idol. And the children of Israel worshiped this worthless idol, this big piece of gold, as their God, if you can believe such a thing. They bowed down to it. They made offerings to this God. And they took this golden calf and made it their own, their God. How horrible, how terrible that is, engaging in idolatry during this time. And at this time, Moses was still up on Mount Sinai. And in verses 7 through 10, let's look at verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereunto, and said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. The Lord told Moses that, you know, you need to go down there to the people. They have deliberately and willfully turned their backs on me and engaged in idolatry. They made a golden calf, and they were bowing down to it as their God. And what I'm going to do, Moses, I am so angry with these people, with the children of Israel, I'm going to wipe them all out. I'm going to kill every last one of them. And I will start with you and your family, and I'll make a great nation from you. And we may think, well, you know, that's pretty hard. God is pretty harsh in a situation like this. And doesn't God want to forgive? Doesn't God want to show mercy? Doesn't God want to give the second chance to the people? Brother, sister in Christ, as we learned this morning, God is a holy God, a holy and just God. God will not wink at sin. God will not sweep sin under the rug. God must deal with sin. Sin must be judged. Now, for us as believers, our sin has already been judged at the cross. Thank God for that. We don't stand under God's judgment, but there are plenty of people walking around out there in the world who are not saved, and they are living and working under the judgment, the divine wrath and judgment of God. They may not understand that, they may not realize it, but it's true. When the children of Israel did these things, they knew that they were doing wrong. They knew that they were committing a wicked, evil, sinful act by making this molten calf. God was justified in his desire to wipe them all out. He was justified. People nowadays say, well, you know, that's not fair, that's not right, you know. What those people don't understand is the holiness of God. And we talked about that this morning. And you understand what that is. I don't need to repeat all that. But in God's eyes, the wickedness and the sin of even his people must be judged by God. Because he is a holy, righteous, and just God. Now let's see what happened in verse 11. Verses 11 through 13. Verse 11 reads, and Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand?
Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to stay them, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. He repented of the evil that he thought to do unto his people. We see here that the principle of leadership, an effective leader intercedes in prayer for other people. You know, Moses had a choice. Do you think Moses could have said, okay, Lord, go ahead, wipe all those people out, you know? Could Moses have done that? Certainly. And the Lord would have carried out his judgment on their sin and their wickedness by doing just that. But you see, Moses didn't do that, did he? He interceded for his people. He asked the Lord in verse 13, remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom you swore by your own self and told them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven. Lord, remember that promise that you gave Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Please remember them and spare the lives of the children of Israel. Now, what does that show us about Moses as a leader? Well, it shows us one thing, that he is willing to intercede for the people. It also shows us that Moses genuinely cared for and loved his people. He really did. He could see their wickedness and their evil. He could see the sinful act that they did. But yet, Moses still cared for and loved his people. He wanted God to spare them. That's exactly what Moses wanted. And Moses interceded on behalf of the people. You know, if the children of Israel had been there and heard God say all these things, you know, I wonder what their reaction would have been. But they weren't there. Moses was. Moses was interceding on behalf of the people. And we see in verse 14 a wonderful thing. It said, the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. That word repented can be rendered, the Lord relented from the harm he was going to do to the people, and he didn't do it. The Lord showed one of his divine attributes here to the children of Israel, and that is mercy. Mercy. What did the people of Israel deserve? They deserved to be wiped out, didn't they? I mean, you know, that's what they deserved. But that's not what they got. They got mercy from God. And Moses, through his intercessory prayer to the Lord on behalf of the people, God heard the prayer of Moses, and he answered in the affirmative to Moses' prayer, and he spared the people because of his great mercy. You know, I've told you before up here in this platform a number of times, where would we be without the mercy of God, brother, sister, and Christ? You know, it's interesting. We can look back in our lives. We can look and remember the day that we accepted and trusted the Lord Jesus as our Savior. We received God's mercy. That, in other words, God will not give us what we deserve. And you know what we deserve. We deserve to be cast in that horrible place of punishment. The Bible calls it Hades or hell, as we know it. And the Lord Jesus talks about that in the gospel accounts. But you know, God showed us mercy, didn't he? And God was still merciful with his people, the children of Israel. He showed them mercy. What a wonderful thing that is to see. And after reading this, I thought, I remember the first couple times I read that, I said, man, look at all these people doing this horrible thing. They're going to die. But I didn't read the second half. I didn't read the part about God relented from what he was going to do. And I said, oh, yeah, God didn't do that. He didn't wipe them all out, did he? And I found out later on that that was God's mercy. That was God's mercy. So we see that an effective leader intercedes in prayer for others. You know, if you're involved in any kind of Christian ministry, here's the application, I think, is pretty clear to us. If we're involved in any type of Christian ministry, whether we're in leadership positions or not, brother, sister in Christ, we should be praying for one another. You know, in Sunday school on Sunday morning, I'm not involved in Sunday school in anymore, but I pray for Don Amshett. I pray for the Sunday school teachers. I pray for the children. And you know, that's what we should be doing. We should be interceding before the Lord. And the people who come up on this platform, and me and Mark Hartley and Bob Adcock and all the rest who share this ministry here, you know, I know, and Gil Vargas, I don't want to leave Gil out, he's out there. And those of us who minister the Word of God, you know, we can't get up here and do this unless God's people are praying for us. You must pray for us. And I know that you do. I know that you do. I have every confidence in my heart that you're praying for us as we minister the Word of God. And I know that you're praying for Sunday school. I know that you're praying for the Iwana Clubs on Tuesday night. I tell you what, we need prayer in dealing with those little munchkins that run around there on Tuesday night. I like to strangle them every now and then. Every Iwana leader has those moments of frustration. And that's when we need prayer the most. It's when we get frustrated. You know. But here, an effective leader, the principle of leadership here that we see for Moses is that an effective leader intercedes in prayer for others, the people under him, the people over him, and the people that are ministered to, that we should be praying for them. And thank God for the intercessory prayer of Moses, that he interceded on behalf of the children of Israel, and the Lord didn't wipe them all out. You know, we can thank God for that, for his mercy. And the next principle of leadership in this same chapter, and this is the last one, next principle of leadership, an effective leader is willing to administer discipline when needed. An effective leader is willing to administer discipline when needed. Let's turn to chapter 32, verse 19. We'll start reading at verse 19. And it came to pass as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burnt it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it or scattered it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, What did this people unto thee, and that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, Let not thou anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, Make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what is become of him. And I said unto them, Whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me, and I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. That's interesting, isn't it? We'll talk about that in a minute. But Moses took that golden calf that the children of Israel had made. He broke it down. He burned it up in the fire until it was nothing but ashes. He took the ashes and ground it up into a fine powder. He took that powder and threw it into the water supply, and he made all the children of Israel go up and drink that water. And I imagine the taste of that, with those ashes and that water in there, that was probably one of the yuckiest tasting stuff that you can imagine. I can imagine the bitterness of the taste of that water. But Moses was disciplining the people, you see. And Moses came back to his brother Aaron. He said, Aaron, what in the world have you done? Why did you let the people of Israel? Well, you know, Moses, I mean, you know how the people are. They're evil little things. And they want their own way. So, I mean, they forced me to make a golden calf. And I put it in the fire, and I put all this gold and earrings in the fire, and bam, out popped this calf. If you can imagine such a thing. I can't. There must be magic involved here. And out popped this golden calf. But we see here that one of the things that an effective leader does is to administer discipline when needed. Moses ground the ashes of that burned up golden calf, and the people drank of the water. And it was I imagine it was a horrible, terrible tasting thing that Moses made the people do. But in verse 26, we'll start reading at verse 26. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side and go in and out from gate to gate through the camp and slay every man his brother and every man his companion and every man his neighbor." And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 people. For Moses had said, "Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, when even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day." Moses wants to know that who among the people was going to be committed to the Lord. The tribe of Levi stepped forward. In that particular case, Moses had the men of Levi take swords and executed 3,000 men of the children of Israel. 3,000 men in one day. Now, that you may think, well, 3,000 is not the same as 2 or 3 million. Well, that's true. But you see, Moses, as a leader of his people, had to administer discipline. Discipline had to be maintained. You know, God forgave the children of Israel their wickedness and sin because of Moses' intercession. He showed them mercy. But you know as well as I do that sin has results. Sin has consequences. These are the consequences of the children of Israel's sins. 3,000 men had to die. They were executed. A high price to pay for idolatry, isn't it? High price to pay to lose your life like that. But an effective leader is willing to administer discipline when needed. Moses, as a leader of his people, was willing to administer that discipline. And folks, I'm here to tell you, if you're in any Christian leadership position and you have to administer discipline, it's not a fun thing. It's not a pleasant exercise. It really isn't. And if you think, if you take the attitude or the idea, well, I'm going to get this person, they've messed up and they've sinned, and, you know, I'm going to go after them and push them against the wall, and I'm going to give them a piece of my mind, that is not correct Christian discipline by any means. There's a verse in the New Testament that we should read in recognition of this. That's found in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. If you want to turn to that, you can. I'll read it. You know this verse, I'm sure. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." You know, part of discipline in Christian ministry is restoration. You know, we want to restore the sinning one who's committed the sin. Here in verse 6 it says, "Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one." The word restore here carries a connotation of setting a broken bone. Of setting a broken bone. And you know, if a bone is broken, it has to be set so it can heal, doesn't it? If a man or a woman that we know of, the individual that we love and care for is committed a sin, and we want to go to them, and we want to talk to them about that, we should. But we should follow the guidelines of Galatians 6:1. Restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. The word meekness can be rendered gentleness. We don't go up to another Christian and say, "Earl, man, you sure didn't mess up this time, didn't you? What's the matter with you?" People out there at Northgate Chapel, they look up and respect you, and you go ahead and you've done this. What's the matter with you? Is that the attitude that the Lord Jesus would take in restoring you or me back to God? I don't think so. The Lord Jesus is a loving and compassionate Savior. Yes, He is holy and just. There's no doubt about that. But when He restores one of His own, we want to make sure that it's done in a spirit of meekness or gentleness, according to Galatians 6:1. Along with discipline comes restoration, you see. And it's okay to discipline somebody to an individual, but at the same time, we want to restore them also. The two go together. Now, in granted, in Exodus 32, we didn't see Moses there as a gentle, meek man in disciplining the children of Israel. He wasn't like that in Exodus 32. But discipline had to be administered in that particular case because Moses was the leader. He had to lead. He had to show leadership. He had to make a decision. He had to discipline the children of Israel. That's what God expected out of Moses. And that's what God expects us out of us. But at the same time, if we discipline people, let's make sure that we talk to them in a spirit of gentleness and meekness and compassion and love. That's what the Lord Jesus wants. You know, that's what he expects from us. Well, our time is almost up. And I'll read these principles of leadership. Number one, an effective leader always listens to advice and counsel. Number two, principle of leadership, an effective leader delegates authority to others. Number three, an effective leader intercedes in prayer for others. And number four, an effective leader is willing to administer discipline when needed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the Word of God tonight. We pray, Heavenly Father, that if we are in areas of leadership in your church or in business or in school, wherever we are, wherever we're at, Father, we just pray that we'll take these principles along with us. We pray, Father, that you want us in every aspect of our lives, whether we're in the local church or not, that you expect us, Father, to glorify and exalt the person of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that in our lives, that these principles that have been ministered to us tonight, Father, that you will take them and make them part of our lives. And that we may glorify the person of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, because, Father, he is the one who went all the way to the cross of Calvary for each one of us. We just give you thanksgiving and praise tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. John doesn't have any...